We covered the front last week, and we'll do our best to cover the back tonight. So if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. That's the first verse on the back. While you're turning there, just remind you of what we're talking about. This is rightly dividing the Christian life. And there are some things that you need to understand about your life as a believer that are not exactly the same, which is why we are dividing them. So it's a really helpful thing to have an understanding of basic divisions even as a believer in Jesus Christ. Basic divisions concerning you. So, before we get to this, can anybody think of a division within you that is actually a threefold division that's really, really important? You're not just one. You're three. What is it, Zane? Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. I think it says it to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you are actually a three-part being. Did God make man in his own image?
Yes.
What is God? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So he did make man in his own image, and there's one illustration of that. These things we're going over tonight actually go hand in hand with that threefold division, which we've talked about before, and maybe we need to cover that again, that whole thing about body, soul, and spirit. But there'll be some things that kind of cross over here tonight with that. So on the front, before we start reading and get to the back, on the front, we talked last week about faith and all it takes for you to have your sins forgiven and to have eternal life is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great thing? Obviously, you have to understand you're a sinner and understand that He died for you. He didn't deserve to die. We deserve it. He suffered the wrath of God that we all deserve. But by believing that He died and rose again, that's all. That is all it takes to be saved. It's a great thing. Now, you want to make sure you understand the difference between salvation, which doesn't cost you anything, and rewards in heaven, which do cost you something. It'll cost you something down here. You might have to sacrifice some friends or family members or maybe even great opportunities to do things that would prevent you from fulfilling God's will. So it does cost you something to get rewarded, but it costs you nothing to be saved. Make sure you understand that basic division. And then last week, we talked about feelings. And the division here has to do with the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Now, what are your feelings mostly connected with, your flesh or your spirit? What do you think? Yeah, now I think you could probably make some connection to feelings that you have with the Holy Spirit of God. But oftentimes, I mean, think about the feelings that you and I have a lot of times. Anger. Frustration. I know you don't ever have any of those, do you? Bitterness. Pride. That thing just rises up. That is just the flesh rising up. And those feelings are oftentimes associated with the flesh. You've got to be careful about following the way you feel. So instead of following your feelings on the back, you want to follow the facts. The facts about you as found in God's Word. So let's read Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 6, some great truths about the Christian life here, and then we'll get into the message here. So verse 1, Ephesians 2, 1, written to believers, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, amen to that, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to throw you for a loop here and then we'll pray. Where are you right now? Trick question. Where are you right now? Church? Got any other answers? Oh, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Wait a minute. You can't be both, can you? You are. I'll show you several scriptures tonight that prove that, yes, physically, geographically, you're here. Spiritually, if you're saved, you're up there. It's a great truth. So let's ask the Lord to help us tonight have understanding of this. Lord God Almighty, we are asking again for help. We know that Your Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture and the one who teaches us. And we are asking for You to be our teacher tonight. Impart spiritual truth to us that we otherwise would never be able to grasp. Help us to have understanding of it. I pray that the light bulb would even go off in our hearts and minds tonight, and we would just see some things very clear that maybe we haven't seen before, and maybe just be reminded of some things that we already know and see it even clearer. I just pray that we would apply, again, the things that we hear about tonight from You, and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's get some truths from this verse here, for this passage. Verse 1, notice it says, "And You hath He," what's the word? "Quickened." So the blank there is quickened. Oh, you know what? I got to back up here. Let me back up to that first blank. I'm so sorry. I always do this. Right, Miley? I always skip blanks. In biology class, I used to do that, and I do it here at church as well. I'm so sorry. Notice the description of the current standing of the believer. So the idea here tonight, and this is, I'm really glad we're just taking one night to do just this. The idea tonight is there is a difference between a believer's standing before God and your state. Your standing is connected with your spiritual standing before God, whereas your state has to do with where you are physically, geographically. So let's try to really nail this down here. The first thing it says here, this is a lot about your current standing. The description of the standing. Verse 1, "You are quickened." Now think about this. However long you've been saved, however long that's been, the very moment you called on Jesus Christ to save you, He quickened you, and you have never lost eternal life that He gave you when you got saved, right? Yeah, amen to that. That means, here in parentheses I put, you are no longer dead. The thing is, we're going to look at some verses tonight that say, you are dead. How can you be not dead but dead? This body is supposed to be reckoned to be dead unto sin. At the same time, Romans 6 says you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So, are you dead or are you alive? A little bit of both. This flesh that I live in, that you live in, is not getting any better. It's dying. Yet, I am just as alive today spiritually as I was the day I got saved. And so are you. Can't ever, that never tarnishes. You ever notice that? The flesh can be tarnished and wear away and get worse and worse. The Spirit of God always stays the same. Isn't that cool? Your car that you got, that brand new car that you bought, and you drove it off the lot at the dealership, it was brand new at what point? Actually, by the time you got it, it wasn't new anymore, even though you called it brand new. Then you drove it off, and you went through a mud puddle, and it wasn't new anymore, was it? You had to wash it, and then another few days later, you had to wash it again. It's a continual thing when it comes to things down here on earth. You've got to keep cleaning them up again. But isn't it a great thing that if you're saved, there's a part of you that never has to be cleaned up? It's just always the same. The Spirit of God living in you is not going anywhere, and He's never changed. It's a great thing. It's a great truth. Now look at verse 6. It says down there that the Lord has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So Katie answered, we're seated at the right hand of God. Yeah, if you're in Christ, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So are you. So the blanks there, raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your current standing as a believer is not down here, it's up there. Did you catch that? Your current standing is up there. And I know what you're thinking. Some of you might be thinking this. A lot of you might be thinking this. But I'm not up there. I'm down here. You're sitting in the pew at Heritage Baptist Church, Titusville, Florida. I'm not up there. I'm down here. Actually, if you're saved, you are both up there and you're down here. Standing, seated with Christ in heavenly places. State, right down here on this earth. So the next blank there, at the present time, a believer is on earth in a physical sense, but in heaven in a spiritual sense. How is it that I could be in two places at one time? Now, what I'm about to show you here is typical of Jesus Christ when he was down here on earth. And I know that we are not Jesus Christ. But what I'm going to show you here is a great truth concerning him when he was down here. That is a great illustration of what we are as saved people. This is really, really neat. Go to John chapter 3. I didn't put this on the sheet, so you might want to write it in. John 3. John chapter 3. A great truth that I think will help us understand you can be up there and down here at the same time. John 3. Look at verse 11. This is the conversation between Jesus Christ and Nicodemus. John 3:11. Look what the Lord says here. 3:11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, remember that, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? I tell you, there's a great verse to get a message from there. A lot of folks say, yeah, you can trust the Bible when it comes to spiritual matters, but you can't trust it when it comes to history or science or anything like that. Those earthly things, when the Bible speaks of history, science, anything, it is 100% accurate. It's the Creator who's telling you these things. He knows all about it. Actually, and read this book on leadership, and the premise of the book is great. All these leadership books out there in the world, I mean, you go to the bookstore, the bookstore is filled with leadership books. We haven't figured it out after all these years. You got to have a new way to lead? I mean, come on. So, and the guy's premise that wrote the book is the greatest leadership manual in the world is the Bible. Who do you think knew more about leadership than Jesus Christ? Go to any leadership guru you want to go to. Go to the conference and pay $5,000 to go hear some guru speak. You're not going to hear better leadership principles than what you find from Jesus Christ in the Bible. It's definitive in everything it says. God's Word is. It doesn't matter what subject it is. It's going to be right. So the Lord actually says that. He says, how are you going to believe heavenly things if you can't believe the earthly things? So he says here, or actually I got that backwards. How do you believe the heavenly thing? You know what I'm saying. Yeah, I messed it up. So verse 12 says it better than I can say it. Now watch verse 13. Watch what he says here. The subject is heavenly versus earthly. Verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is, what's the last two words? Hold on a second. That's Jesus speaking. Where is he geographically when he says that? Down here. Remember, he was up there. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. He went from up there down here. When he was here for 33 and a half years, geographically, he's down here. When he speaks the words in verse 13, geographically, he's down here. But what does he say in verse 13? Into verse 13, even the Son of Man, which present tense is, not was, present tense is where? He says that when he's down here. How can he be down here and up there at the same time? He's omnipresent, like the theologians like to say. So he can say that. He's down here, obviously, but he's also up there. Now, the truth that we read in Ephesians 6 about a believer in Jesus Christ actually is the same thing. Where are you right now? Physically, sitting in a pew. But spiritually, Ephesians 2 says you're seated with Christ up there. Isn't that cool? I would love to have seen the expression on Nicodemus' face at different points in this chapter. It just had to blow his mind. It's a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus preserved for all eternity for us. Can you imagine the things going through his mind and the looks on his face when Jesus says some of these things? He had to just be a mind-blowing conversation. And there it is right there for me and you. Okay, so a believer's, this is the next blank here, a believer's standing. So really define this. A believer's standing has to do with one's position. position before Almighty God. Make sure you get this, because of the work of Jesus Christ. Your position seated with Christ in heavenly places is all about what Jesus Christ did for you. Now then the next thing it says, remember that Jesus Christ's righteousness is imputed to a believer, and God declares a believer to be positionally, this is a great truth, ready? Positionally, you are right now before God. If you're righteous, that means you are without what? Without sin. So that last blank there, positionally, without sin. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, believers, might be made the righteousness of God in him. When you got saved, God declared you for all eternity. He declared you righteous. As I've heard it said before, maybe you've heard it too, God looks at a believer in Jesus Christ through rose-colored glasses. The blood of Jesus Christ makes it so he sees you without sin. Isn't that cool? So positionally, or your standing, has to do with where you are because of what Jesus Christ did for you. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're righteous in the sight of God. Now the next thing here, a believer's state has to do with one's personal walk or our service for the Lord after salvation. So again, a believer's state, this is different from standing. A believer's state has to do with one's personal walk or our service for the Lord after salvation. Now you say, where do you get that? All right, there's verses that I have added since last week that are not on this sheet. You might want to write these down because these are really, really good to prove this whole premise. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Turn over there. These are all Pauline, all in Paul's letters, and we'll try to go through these quickly and show you this great truth here. 1 Corinthians 1. Standing versus state. Right now, your state is down here in the church, on the pew, but your standing is up there, seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know that your standing right now is far beyond where Elon Musk could ever venture to travel. How many billions and billions of dollars they spend out there to get up there, and they can't go as far as you and I can as believers in Jesus Christ. Can't do it. Spend billions and it'll be trillions and quadrillions before you know it. They just can't make it far enough out there. 1 Corinthians 1:1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ to the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Okay, now watch. You're going to see it in verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is where? At where? Where's Corinth? It's over in Greece. It is a geographic location down here. Is that the standing or the state of these people? Corinth is their state. They are down here. But look at the rest of the verse. It's so neat. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So their state is Corinth. But in that same verse where he mentions where they are geographically, their state, he also says where they are as far as their standing goes. He says, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And what are they because they're in Christ Jesus? What's it say they are? Saints. You mean to tell me you don't have to be declared a saint by a church to be a saint? Not according to the Bible. Anybody in Christ is a saint. So if you would like to put saint before your name and say that, that's okay. Just don't name churches after yourself, okay? Don't do that. That's not a good idea. Crazy thing the world does, isn't it? But notice in that verse, he mentions where they are physically and also where they are positionally. So let's go another one. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 1. looking at standing and state. And you'll see how Paul will actually make reference to this on purpose. Standing and state. Look at verse 1 of Galatians 5. What's the first word? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay, now skip down to verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Okay, so look at verse 1. The standing that you currently have as a believer in Jesus Christ has made you free. But, verse 7, he's asking them a question. He says, who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Hey, what's wrong with your state is what he's asking. What about your walk with the Lord? Who is it that stops you from walking with God down here on earth? So, you understand there. Verse 1, standing. Verse 7, state. How about another one? Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are where? At Ephesus. There's their state. They're down here on earth, physically, geographically. And then he says, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. There's the standing. And if you want more on the standing, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. This is neat. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, in Christ. So it's possible to be down here and up there at the same time because you're saved. Geographically, down here, your state, but standing, you're up there with Jesus Christ. How about one more? Go to Colossians 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians 3. 3:3. Colossians 3, verse 3. All right, you tell me after I read this if this has to do with standing or state. Yeah, we'll have a little test here. Miss Diana, your favorite. 3:3. After I read it, you can say standing or state. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What do you think? It's got to be your standing. Talking about your life being hid with Christ in God. And then it says you're dead. Well, physically, you're not dead, even though your flesh is wearing away. So that's got to be your standing. But go down to verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. He's saying, hey, your walk with the Lord, your state, you need to be very mindful to not be involved in all of these activities. He mentions anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Are you going to find any of those in the list on verses 8 and 9? Are you going to find any of those things in heaven? You're going to have liars in heaven? You're going to have blasphemy in heaven? You're going to have anger and wrath and malice? None of those things exist in heaven. But they do exist down here, and if you're not careful, they'll exist in your life. Unless you put off all these things that are connected with that fellow we mentioned last week. That old man. I'm not looking at anybody, okay? Talking about your flesh, that old man, that old nature. Okay, so there's standing and state. That makes sense? See how Paul will make a reference to that if you really follow along there. Now go over to 1 John. Here's another illustration here. 1 John 3. Wow, we're on pace to get done way early, but you know how that usually goes. We shall see. 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. And this is a great place where you got verses associated with the standing and the state of the believer. 1 John 3. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Okay, now notice the word are, A-R-E, past, present, or future tense. What is are? A-R-E is present, right now. What are you if you're saved at the very present moment? What are you according to that verse? You're a son of God. Isn't that cool? Beloved, now are we the sons of God? But then watch what it says here. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, so right now, in my body, I am not like Jesus Christ. In my body, I'm not. But when he shows up in the clouds at the rapture and you meet him in the air, guess what happens? I am just like him, bodily. So notice the standing state mentioned there. We are the sons of God. Yeah, right now that's my standing. But at the same time, my state is, I'm not like him yet, physically, but I will be. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now hold on a second. I have to purify myself even though I'm a son of God? Let's get this down here. Notice it says there on your sheet, standing. Now are we the sons of God. That is your current standing. You are. Nobody's going to take that away from you. You are a son of God. Everybody in here is either a son or a daughter by birth. You can't change that. Doesn't matter how much you might want to change it. You can never change that. You are a son of God because of birth, the new birth, being born again, the Holy Spirit. So that is due to your standing. Now, notice it says there, state on your sheet, every man that hath this hope in himself, the blank is purified, right out of the verse, purified himself. Now, hold on a second. Why would he say, I'm a son of God, yet in the next verse say, I have to be purified? Down here on this earth, walking around, you get dirty. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet? And then I think Peter said something along the lines of, Lord, also my head and my hands. Because you're down here, walking around on this earth, you need your feet washed. Because your feet get dirty as a result of walking down here in this sinful place. So you need to get cleaned up from time to time. And that has to do with your state, your walk with God, because you're going to fall short. And you got to get that thing right. You got to renew the fellowship with God that he desires. So there's a couple verses there where you see that. Now, let's compare here. You got to find both of these verses so you can kind of go back and forth a couple of times. So go to Galatians 3 and then Romans 13. So Galatians 3:27 and then Romans 13:14. So if you find both of those, and then we'll kind of flip back and forth. We'll look at Galatians first. Galatians 3:27. And then Romans 13. I'll give you a second to get there. Galatians first. Galatians 3:27 first. All right, everybody ready? Anybody out there?
Ready.
All right. Thank you, Brother Moore. Galatians 3:27. Bible says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now understand, every time you see the word baptized, it's not water baptism. Y'all know that? Whether you knew it or not, the very moment you got saved, you were baptized spiritually. You know what that means? You were placed in Jesus Christ, identifying with him in his death, burial, resurrection. What do they do when they baptize somebody in water? Buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That is just a physical manifestation of something that already happened. And it's a good thing, but it doesn't save you. The water doesn't save you. It's Jesus Christ that saves you. But that's a great illustration. That's why the Lord would have people do that. Okay, now keep your finger there. Go to Romans 13. And I'm going to quiz you on this after we read here. He says, Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay, now, wait a minute. Galatians 3 says, I've been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ. Y'all see that? Have the last part of verse 27, Galatians 3:27. Baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. But then Romans 13:14 says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, as if you haven't already done it. So let me ask you a question. Have you put on Jesus Christ or not? Yes. Brother Phil was here, he would say yes and yes. When you got saved, you have put on Jesus Christ. You're standing that can never be taken away. You are in Jesus Christ. You put on Jesus Christ, but your state has to do with you've got to daily put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Because, folks, if you don't understand that, this whole difference between standing and state, you know what it looks like you have in your Bible here? What's it look like you have, Miss Katie? You got a contradiction. You got an error in your Bible. One place that says you got to put them on, the other place that says you already got them on. Well, which is it? If you rightly divide between standing and state, you understand it happened at salvation. That's me spiritually. But geographically, living down here in this world, I've got to daily put off the flesh and ask God to fill me with His Holy Spirit. Pastor had a great thing this morning mentioned about being filled with the Spirit. I never thought about what you said, by the way. Were you filled with the Spirit when you got saved? I would have to say yes, as filled as a person could possibly be. But what probably happened not long after you got saved? You were no longer filled with the Spirit. You grieved the Spirit. Now, He didn't leave you, but the filling is absent. So you know what you got to ask the Lord to do? Fill you again. So, I thought that was really neat. Goes right along with this. You are in Jesus Christ. God gave you His Holy Spirit. He's never leaving. But you're not always filled with the Spirit, are you? You'd be lying if you said you are. That's why you have to ask the Lord to fill you regularly with His Holy Spirit. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're putting away that old nature. You're putting on that new nature. Christian life is a struggle, isn't it? I mean, the struggle's real. And I tell you, I get fed up with some of these preachers that get up and it. I know for a while I was in a church where it sure seemed like every man that stood in the pulpit, he must never have problems with the flesh. And I would go away and I think, man, I want to be like that guy. He never has a problem. He's just got it all figured out. Well, after I hung around for a while, I realized those guys may want to make you think they got it figured out, and they don't. They put on this facade like they never have a problem with this sin or that sin. Oh, everybody's got their own little pet sins they got to wrestle with. So I confess before you today, oh boy, this is a struggle. It's a struggle. The only way I'm going to live victoriously in Jesus Christ is to, not just once a day, but it'd be good to start the day, put off the old man, put on the new man. Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And then probably if I get up at 6:30, probably by 8 o'clock I need to do it again. Maybe by 6:35. But you see, the struggle living as a Christian is real because you have to constantly acknowledge it's not me that does it, it's the Lord that does it. I got to have the Lord to live the life of Jesus Christ through me. And when you do that, it becomes about Him and not about you. And I think that goes right along with the pride thing this morning. You start living for you, you put away the Lord, and it becomes all about you, and He doesn't get glory out of that. Okay, so Galatians 3:27 has to do with our... Did you get it? Galatians 3:27. Standing, yes. It says you've already put on Christ. Romans 13:14, there's a command to put on Christ. That has to do with your state. So Galatians 3, standing. Romans 13, state. Your standing, being saved, never, ever changes because of Jesus Christ. But your walk before others and the world depends on what day of the week it is, huh? Depends on what time they catch you. Not always consistent. Every believer has the exact same standing before God Almighty because of Jesus Christ. Every believer's standing is exactly the same. You've got the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're in Christ. You got the Holy Spirit. Never going to lose any of that. But every believer's state is not the same. I don't know where you are. I know where I am. And that's enough for me to take care of. I can encourage you and try to help you when I can, but that's up to you. Your state is up to you. My state is up to me. Okay, the last thing here, go to Romans 6. Here's some practical keys to help you as you live the Christian life. Romans chapter 6. We were in Romans 7 last week, and Romans 6, 7, and 8 talk a whole lot about this struggle within a believer between the flesh and the spirit, and it tells you how to have victory over the flesh. Look at Romans 6. I'm just going to read a little section here. Let's read 6 to 13. Romans 6, 6 all the way down to verse 13. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that's with Jesus Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Has to do with our standing. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Okay, so he says there in the first three verses there, 6, 7, and 8, he talks about, actually verse 9 as well, your standing. And he says, know this. And then he goes on to tell you how you can have a state that coincides with your standing. So let's get these. There's three key words here you want to get from this. Verse 6, and then again in verse 9, know. Know the condition of the old man, that old nature. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. And then verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. You need to know some things. You need to have some information, some true information, facts. So know the condition of the old man. Now, that's the first part. Once you got the knowledge, got the information, you don't want to stop there. You want to put it into action. So we need information, but we also need the application. So here's the application. Verse 11. Likewise, what's that word? Reckon. There's the next blank there. Now, that's a good old Southern word, isn't it? You folks grew up in the South? I reckon so. You think, Miss Cookie, that a lot of Southerners read their King James Bible? That's true. That's very true. And they got that vocabulary, and it turned into a Southern thing. But you know what it really was? It was an Elizabethan English thing. Reckon. Anybody know what that word reckon means? If you're going to reckon something to be so, what would be a good synonym? I'm not changing. I'm just asking for a synonym. What's a synonym? Could go along with that, but I think there's something else. What do you think?
Believe.
What did you say, Pastor?
Balance.
Okay, that goes along with it. How about declare? Declare. You're saying something is so and putting it into action. Reckon. Okay, so reckon. You're putting that information you have and you're saying, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to make it in action. So reckon. Reckon what? Well, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So you got to know that, and then you got to realize, okay, I got to make sure that that happens. Verse 13 is the next key word here. He says, neither, what's the word? Yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So yield yourselves unto God, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Okay, what's the members he's talking about there? Anybody? Your body parts. So here's what's really neat. If you're saved, God's Holy Spirit is in you. And your body, though it be, you got a real hard time with your flesh. I understand, I'm better than anybody. As good as you, as good as anybody. Your flesh, your body, is the vehicle by which the Spirit of God travels around down here. So the Spirit of God can make His way from one place to another by virtue of you carrying the Spirit of God with you everywhere you go. So this body does have a purpose. Yeah, I know we're in this body of flesh, but it has a purpose. It is the, 1 Corinthians 6, the temple of the Holy Ghost. So it is the dwelling place. And if you remember, that Old Testament temple was a permanent dwelling place. But before the temple, they had the tabernacle. You know what that tabernacle did? It traveled around. So we down here, we travel around carrying the Holy Spirit of God with us. And God's desire is that I'll use my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my mouth. All of these will be instruments of righteousness. I'll tell you, a good little test to think about the last week. What did you do with your hands? What did you do with your feet? Where did your feet take you? What did you do with your eyes? What did you look at? What did you listen to? What did you say? All those things are going to have a huge influence on your state as a believer. You look at the past week, you can say a whole lot about your state based on what you said, what you heard, what you looked at, where you went, and what you did with your hands. So take these instruments and use them for God. So the last thing there, yield yourselves unto God and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Your standing before God is because of the new nature God gave you in Jesus Christ. Your current state has to do with you're still carrying around that old sin nature. Does that make sense, folks? Can I help you a little bit? Victorious Christian living requires you to know some things, have information. But it also requires you to have the application. Don't just stop at knowing. Reckon and yield and put those things into action. So the Christian life is a great paradox, isn't it? It is. I am 100% saved. Are you? Amen to that. But this body of flesh is rotten and stinking and corrupt. But that does not change the fact that I'm 100% saved. So now I'm going to throw you for a loop here, a little math problem. I'm 100% saved, right? I'm also 2/3 saved. What? What? My body is not saved, is it? My soul is saved. I got the Spirit of God. So there's 2 out of 3. That will be complete when Jesus Christ appears in the clouds. Yet, okay, now think about this. Yet Colossians 2, I didn't go there tonight, but Colossians 2 says, and ye are, present tense, and ye are complete in Him. So if you don't reconcile this, or I should say actually, if you don't divide this properly, you will be so confused when you read your Bible. Because it sure does sound like I got no problems at all because I'm in Jesus Christ. But then also Paul talks about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. It sounds like I got problems. So do I have problems? Yes. Do I not have problems? Yes. You see how this works? It's a great paradox. But you need to know these things, because if you don't know these things, you're going to continually fail as a Christian. It'll really help you in your daily walk, realizing that when you do fail, get that right. Get that walk straightened out as soon as you can, so you don't continually drift further and further away from the Lord. All right? Questions, comments, anything? To help you at all? You probably already knew it, but it's good to know it again or to hear it again. Yes? Y'all. You reckon so? Is y'all in the King James Bible? Yeah, declare. There you go. I'm telling you, there's something to that. There's something to that. People always associated a lot of Southern preachers as being uneducated. I think they spent a good amount of time in that King James Bible. Sure does sound like a lot of their vocabulary. All right, let's pray together. Got you out here a little earlier than normal tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for the truths that we can know about ourselves. We sure thank you for the free gift of salvation. And we are asking you this week for help in helping us live the life that you want us to live in Jesus Christ, being filled with the Spirit as we walk around here on earth and have contacts with people that need Jesus Christ and have conversations. We just pray that our light would truly shine before men, that they may see our good works and truly give you the glory that you deserve. We pray for a hand of protection on us this week. We just pray that all of us would really just live victoriously in the week ahead. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.